This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Episode 6.
Welcome to the Muslim Life Hackers Podcast, the weekly podcast providing you with tips and tricks on how to hack your life and maximize its potential. And now for your hosts, Mifra Marouf and Maheen Malik.
As we sail across a sea of life, so
Assalamu alaikum, Muslim Life Hackers. This is Mifra Marouf here, and in today's episode, Maheen and I interview our first guest on the podcast, Sister Zohra Sarwari, and talk about all things leadership, vision, talents, and goals. For those who don't know Zohra Sarwari, she's an international speaker, author, and life coach living in Indiana, USA. All the links and resources mentioned in this episode will be found in the show notes. You can find them at muslimlifehackers.com/6. That's number 6. Without further ado, let's start the interview.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. It's Maheen Maliki with Mifra Marouf.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
So we're here at the Being Me Women's Conference in Sydney. Really excited. We've got Zohra Sarwari here with us.
Assalamu alaikum, Zohra.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We're super excited to have you with us. We kidnapped her, pulled her to the side. So let's like bombard her with questions.
Okay, so let's start with that first question that we had. We're actually wondering about talents, right? People actually ask us, like, how exactly do I find out my talents? Because there's a lot of, like, mm-hmm. Emphasis on, you know, do what you love. But then how do we know what we love in order to do it?
What are we good at? Yeah,
yeah, what are we good at?
Okay, this is a beautiful question. And I have to tell you guys that the first book I wrote is based on this question.
Yeah.
And so what happened was when I was teaching it, because I life coach, and when I was coaching people, this is exactly what people would come back and say, what's my strength? What's my weakness? I don't know.
Yeah.
And so the book, 9 Steps to Achieve Your Destiny, starts with that. What's the first step, the second, the third? By the 9th step, you've discovered yourself, inshallah. So it's really important. I can't say in one thing that you can figure it out, but obviously when you figured out your strengths, you have to go through several steps to kind of find out who you are and what you love.
Yeah.
And by going through that process, then by the end, you're like, okay, this is me. You can identify with something, and then you take that, inshallah, and you focus on that, and you heighten it to make it the best. Let's just say you're an extrovert, mashallah.
Okay.
You're amazing with money and with finances, and you know, you're doing a good job.
Things.
Yes, absolutely. And you're doing excellent with this. Now, what can you do with that? So you've got, let's say, a degree in finances, and you deal really good. You know how to budget and money, and then you're also an extrovert. You can easily talk to people.
Yeah.
What can you do? You can definitely speak about the stuff. You can teach others how to do it. You can become a coach from it. You can write a book and, I mean, go out there and be able to explain it to people. So there's different things that each one of us have, different talents. And it doesn't have to be one or the other, but you basically find your strengths, inshallah.
Yeah, I mean, like, as you were speaking about the topic of money, I mean, like, these days, not a lot of people know how to manage their money.
She was speaking about this the other day, how I'm such a bad saver.
Yeah, and you know, that's actually so true, because the people who do know it, it's important that, you know, they can get out there and teach people.
Absolutely.
I guess it's they're really undervalued their knowledge that they have.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest issues that we have in the Muslim community, and I've noticed it worldwide, traveling a lot of places, mashallah, is that we don't have enough confidence. We don't have enough self-esteem to think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this talent and that we have an authority to go out and share it. Like, not being egotistic, not being arrogant, but being out there helping our sisters and brothers. So if you've achieved something and you know that other people can benefit from it, this is a big important thing to do. And that could be someone, let's say they lost 50 pounds. They figured out how to lose weight. They can definitely go out there and help so many people achieve this, mashallah.
I guess this ties into why it's important to leave a legacy. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, it's important because obviously at the end of the day, you come back, it's everything we're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do you want to go to, you know, when you see Allah azza wa jalla, what do you want to go to?
Yeah.
I mean, we know that when we die, only 3 things benefit us, right?
Yep.
Children who make dua for us, any kind of knowledge that we've left behind, and any kind of sadaqah jariyah. So if this is the case, where is your legacy going to be? If you're 6 feet under, which we're all going to go, what are you going to be getting the good deeds from?
Yeah.
Let's say some of you don't get married and you don't have kids. I mean, life, nobody knows what happens.
Yeah.
Or you die before you have children. What will you be doing to get your good deeds from? Where will they be coming from? I mean, subhanAllah, like, you know, with my kids, it's funny, the other day we were talking about this and my son was like, Mom, if I were to die right now, I mean, what would my sadaqah jariyah be? And I looked at him, and he's literally, he's 10, and I looked at myself, Abu Bakr, I said, mashallah, you've written 3 books, you've got videos out there, you've done lectures. I said, that'll be part of your sadaqah jariyah. And he said, inshallah. Then he got excited.
Like, bring it on.
Because, like, it starts off small, but I'm saying you have to think, what is my legacy going to be? So it doesn't matter what you're, I mean, you can be an awesome chef, an awesome cook, write a cookbook. That's going to continue benefiting people, inshallah, and you will get the good deeds.
Okay, so the lesson we should take away from here is that you don't wait, don't delay. You never know when your time is up, kind of thing.
Absolutely.
That's true.
Absolutely. Act now. Act immediately. You know, don't walk by opportunities thinking tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. No. You don't know if you'll be here tomorrow.
Yeah, that's so true. Because you know how you were saying about, like, if you know something and it's the lack of confidence, just reminds me of something that I was reading online. And one of the blogger, he was saying that you don't have to be an expert. It's just you know more than the person you're teaching.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and if you can help them, and if you can help them, that's it. I mean, you know, let's just say, subhanAllah, you gave somebody confidence and knowledge and you helped them in one area and they took that to a whole nother level and you're still getting the good deeds from it, mashallah. And let's say they wrote a book based on you inspiring and motivating them, and you get the good deeds from their book, subhanAllah.
Amazing. Some excellent points there. So another question that we really wanted to know is, what's the most important thing that you've learned about leadership? I know it's generic, but everyone has a different take.
Yeah, and it's actually good to benefit from each person's insight.
I think the most important thing I've personally learned about leadership, and this is going through the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the great imams and anyone who's righteous, and I've read their biography, is character is everything. If you have character, subhanAllah, doesn't matter which position you get into, inshallah, you'll do well. If you don't have character, if you're lying, if you're stealing, if you're cheating, change it. We all have that ability to change. Beg Allah for forgiveness, ask Him to help you, start changing, because character is everything.
You know how you were saying how you like travel everywhere and you actually meet a lot of Muslims and stuff, like what particular characteristics when it comes to character have you seen that we can actually work on as a Muslim Ummah?
I mean, I would start with the most important one, which is honesty. We lack that big time. I mean, a sister comes by and says, hey, your hijab's so pretty, and she doesn't mean it at all. It's insincerity and it's a lie. It's like, okay, if you don't mean it, don't say anything. Just assalamualaikum, how are you? But we're in that lifestyle of like everyone just thinks they have to say something and it has to be something nice just so that they can be liked, but they don't mean it and they're not sincere.
Yeah.
And they're dishonest and Allah knows it.
And it's so easy for us to slip into this like white lie habit.
Absolutely. And there's no such thing as a white lie, is there?
Of course not.
Because all of them are the same.
It's true. It's all a lie.
White lie.
Lie is a lie.
Red lie, green lie.
Yeah, that's right.
All of that. You've told us about how it's important to leave a legacy and how akhlaq is one of the key qualities of a leader. So now we want to know a bit more about you. So tell us about a key milestone in your journey of leadership, because you're an inspiration to many, 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 mashallah.
Alhamdulillah, I would think, you know, one thing that, subhanAllah, I feel like I'm very, very, not proud of, but very happy with, is a step I took about 6.5 years ago. I decided to, I was going to homeschool my children 6.5 years ago. And I made this move, and I had no knowledge of it. I had no support. I had no people that had done it, but I knew what I wanted and I had goals for my kids. 6.5 years later, we're going to fast forward, inshallah. Our first child, you know, my goal was for her to graduate at 14, to be able to write books, to be able to be an international speaker, to be able to have videos, to be able to be in college and memorize the Quran. Well, 6.5 years later, mashallah, she's 13. She graduated high school. She's in college. She's in the HIFS program, mashallah, that she's written 6 books. And, you know, she's speaking all over the place, mashallah. So I feel like I set a journey and I begged Allah for help and I said, Ya Rabbi, I want them to be able to serve you in this ummah. I want them to become righteous and do, and without having the knowledge, we're just talking about that, not having the knowledge of how to homeschool. I took steps and I figured it out and I kept searching and researching. 6.5 years later, the results are in. So I feel great, but all praises to Allah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, is just to tell everyone else that there is, put your niyyah in it, be sincere, be honest, do it for the sake of Allah, and you will not believe what the results could be, inshallah.
So like, you know, throughout your journey, like I know that whenever we want to aim for big things and stuff, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always like tests us, right? So how did you actually keep motivated? And like, say you came to a point where like, oh, I don't know about this whole homeschooling thing, I'm just going to put it back in school kind of thing. How did you fight that resistance?
You know, I did. I would, when I would get very frustrated with her or get upset, I'd say, I'm just sending her back to school. And she'd be like, no, mama, no, don't send me to the toilet. You know, she had been to school, so she knew. What stopped me was the fact that I had already, and this is so important for everyone to hear, is that I already told people that I'm homeschooling. These are my goals. Mm-hmm. I put it out in the world so I can go back now, right? Because I made sure, I made sure everyone heard it, and it held me accountable and responsible not to go back.
Absolutely.
Because now I've told everyone.
And after, like, it's characteristic,
like, it's like me saying I'm going to lose 50 pounds and I don't lose it. Mm-hmm. No. If I say I'm going to lose weight, inshallah, I'm going to lose my weight. And exactly. So it's so important that, and when you get the word out, then people have an expectation from you.
Yeah.
You know? And so it kind of pushes you and motivates you not to give up. There were days where I was just like, oh, I'm so annoyed. But then I knew that all I needed to do was take some stuff off my plate, relax for a day, yep. chill, and think of, and I would constantly, when I would come across a problem, I would be looking to how to solve my problem. I wouldn't be looking how to quit from my problem, I'd be looking how to solve my problem.
I guess it's a kind of like, me and Mifra were speaking about this the other day, about having the right kind of mentality. What were the two different?
It was about something about having a growth mindset.
Yeah, growth.
And having a mindset that's stagnant. Like, you know, that, oh, this is my situation. I don't want to change.
Yeah.
I can't change.
Yeah. But that would tie back into self-esteem and self-confidence.
Yeah.
If you don't have the confidence and you don't have the self-esteem, then, you know, you're not going to move anywhere. You're going to think, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. And if you have that mentality, then you got two things you must do. One is get out of the environment you're in. Go with positive people who are doing things, who are making things happen,
true.
And hang around them and see them. And just being in that environment, you slowly start to crawl out of yours because you're in it.
Secure influence. Place.
Absolutely. Yeah. The influence is amazing there. And number two, stop hanging around negative people, period. Because if your sister says, I can't do it, and then your brother says, I can't do it, and then your dad says, I can't do it, and then your cousin says, I mean, you're not going to do it. But if someone says, mashallah, you can do it, and you're going to do it, and this is how you do it, and then you need that. You need that positive influence to help you move to the next step, inshallah.
Hmm.
You need someone to believe in you if you don't believe in yourself just yet.
Yeah, true. You see how you were telling in your homeschooling journey when things were getting like tiring, instead of quitting altogether, you actually took a day off and stuff. That's actually quite interesting, because like sometimes whenever we get sick of something, we might blame the whole entire goal, but maybe it's just, we just need a rest.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
It's the same thing with, you think about dieting, okay?
For
the average sister out there, I'm sure everyone's dieting all the time.
Yeah.
So you think about dieting.
I'm just nodding while sort of speaking as well.
Take a day off, work out 5 to 6 days a week, eat healthy 5, 7th day, take it off.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself. I mean, don't go crazy. You only need 5 servings, but take a day off and just say, this is my day off. It's okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to exercise it. I'm going to eat what I want without being so thin. And then when you rejuvenate, you're rejuvenating yourself. You come back Monday, you're excited to come back.
That's true.
You know,
wow, that's really true.
You have that break, you know, absence makes the heart go fonder.
Yeah,
true.
Yep. I mean, and if you think about it, for us sisters, subhanAllah, how we don't see it as a blessing, but when we can't pray for several days of the month, subhanAllah, it is a blessing because we are so excited to come back on that journey.
Precisely.
You know? It's like, oh my God, you're ready to pray again and you give your full and you're like, you miss it. And subhanAllah, and Allah knows that He can see. And I think that alone is so amazing to me. Like, subhanAllah, you get a break, but in one sense, you don't want it, because it's like, oh, I can fast again, I can pray again, I can do the stuff that I want to do.
Wow, that's such a different way to look at it.
I guess that kind of also ties into a motivation as well. So how is it that you keep yourself motivated through all of your projects, homeschooling, your books, your courses? Me talking about them is just makes me feel overwhelmed.
Yeah, like, I know that you mentioned about being around positive people and stuff, but like, do you have like mentors or something that you, or people do what you do similar to keep you motivated?
Honestly, I don't.
Okay.
In the past, I've had coaches that I've dealt with. They were non-Muslim, the majority of them. But to be honest with you, in the last, like, let's say 5 years, plus, I really haven't. What really inspires and motivates me is Allah subhanAllah. My relationship with Him, me answering to Him on the Day of Judgment, and then the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, going constantly remembering them, their stories and what they've done, and to sit there and look at how blessed we are, where we're living and how many resources we have, and to do nothing is a shame to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame
True.
To me. So I'm motivated because I want to be able to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment and say, Ya Rabbi, I did my best. I'm not perfect. I've made so many mistakes and every day I continue, but I tried my best for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up every day and I pushed myself out of that bed and I said, no, inshallah, I'm going to do this for my Lord. So it's not about the recognition from people or anyone else, but it's that recognition from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I seek. It's, you know, because at the
it
end of the day,
like on your
totally, it's like, you know, if I want to see His beautiful face, inshallah, in Jannah, one day, if I get there, inshallah,
inshallah.
It's like, if I want to see that, I want to feel like you know, I was that servant that tried my best. Mm-hmm. I wasn't the best, but I tried my best. And yeah. I think at the end, that's what, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He loves those who do the little things, but do it consistently.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, if I exercise, I only do 30 minutes a day. If I study, I only take like 3 or 4 classes a semester. So you do the little things, how much you can handle.
Fantastic points that you've given us, Zora. So you can find a link to Zora's book, 9 Steps to Achieve Your Destiny, on our
show notes.
Yep. And also, like, it's been a pleasure. Zora, any last words?
I'd like to say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, be motivated, be strong, hold on to whatever you're doing, and always just keep checking your intentions, making sure it's for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not, you know, being famous, being rich, being the most intelligent, just remembering why we're doing it. And sometimes shaitan comes from different corners and tries to take us away from our real intentions. So just keep reminding yourself that sincerity, and remember, always be honest.
Thank you so much, Zora.
Thank you so much.
Okay, that concludes today's episode of the Muslim Life Hackers podcast. As mentioned earlier, our show notes, which include the books that Sister Zohra mentioned, can be found at muslimlifehackers.com/6. That's the number 6. While you're at it, let us know what you've learned from this interview. Also, from time to time, we'll be dedicating an entire show to questions asked by you. So if you have a question, then simply record a voicemail by going to muslimlifehackers.com/ask. If your question is chosen, then it will be played and answered in our upcoming episodes. Until next time, aim high, take action, and be awesome.